Okay, so did everybody get a handout here, a lecture? Joe needs one. You need one, Edgar?
Yeah.
This is blank, but it's a lecture worksheet, and that's the lecture worksheet question. Somehow, when I got up there, my printout was blank, and I didn't have time to try again. So I figured that would work. Here's the lecture worksheet. It's there's the question up there. When I got my printout, it was blank, and so I said, oh well. Okay. So everybody got one, right?
Everybody.
Okay, good. So do you guys need a homework?
Nope.
No?
Okay. Well, I'll take your word for it.
What homework would it be?
I'm planning on doing that on the exponential.
No, find this, do this. You can copy that one right off the notes from last day, right? You're talking about
like homework four, I think.
Yeah, right, okay, back then, yeah.
Oh, this square wave thing?
Yeah, you need to get that square wave thing in.
Was that what he was talking about?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Square wave in the low pass filter.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll be a nice guy and no homework, but I'm expecting some good results on this exam on Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Adam.
So, the only homework we have right now is the second old test.
I think that's there's only one left, right? I think she's got one more. Let's see. Well, what is left right now?
I think it's just the second old test.
Right.
Right.
The one with the picture.
And that's what finally do or something? Or
that's
what?
Finally do Monday.
Monday. Yeah, okay. So if I give you no homework today, you have like essentially a free day, supposedly, right? So I'll give you no homework today. Yeah, in one class, that's right. But remember, there's an exam coming. If you want to do extra homework problems, I'll be glad to give you some extra problems to work on. What, no homework today? Yeah, right. This lecture worksheet. Actually, you should be able to get this from last day's lecture. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's look at last day's lecture so you can get it. Okay, so last day, what did we do? We were trying to motivate why in the world they would come up with Laplace transforms. And I'm still thinking about Ben's question, are these e to the s t's orthogonal? And they really, actually it's an e to the j omega t with a convergence factor of e to the minus sigma t, where sigma is, positive kind of idea. Or at least sigma, so that the Laplace transform, which is, by the way, and write the Laplace transform. Here's the definition of it. Laplace transform of x of t is defined as the integral from 0. And often they do 0 minus because they want to make sure they include the delta function. Get it all in, okay? And then to infinity of x of t e to the minus st dt, okay? So that's the definition of the Laplace transform. And this S as a real part, which we call sigma, and an imaginary part, which we call j omega. And if sigma was 0, then e to the j omega t's, those are orthogonal functions. And you can think of the e to the minus sigma t as something to make this integral here converge. It's kind of a weighting factor on the dot product that makes that converge. And that in some ways is kind of an extra thing they add. You can add on to vectors. You can do a dot product with a weighting if you wanted to, and we haven't done that very often. But if you can do it, you know, with a weighting function in there, and that makes certain dimensions more important than other ones in the result. So, you know, it's getting to be you know, in vectors there are the ordinary stuff that we do, and then there's some fancier stuff, and that convergence factor is kind of like a fancier stuff here to make this integral converge.
Is U of t always that?
Yeah, when you're working with Laplace transforms, maybe often they will let x of t, and I should write that the Laplace transform of x of t, u of t, equals x of t u of t equals the Laplace transform of x of t.
Because u of t is always.
Yeah, U of t is equal to 1 between 0 and, so it's equal to 1 for t greater than or equal to 0 and 0 for t less than 0. And so last day's lecture worksheet, if you integrate, you know, U of t, it's just like putting a 1 in for x of t there.
So I have a question. So could you say, whenever A and S are not equal to each other, then...
Yeah, you have a convergence problem when A is positive, right? And so it only converges for sigma such that sigma is bigger than A. So, let's see. So this only converges for sigma greater than A. Okay. In other words, when I do that right here, you see, if you look at this thing right here, maybe I should do it over here. Laplace transform of e to the at u of t, I'll just leave out the u of t, is just equal to the integral 0 minus to infinity of e to the at e to the st, which is, or minus st, which is minus sigma plus j omega t dt. This is s right here. And if you look at that, that equals the integral from 0 minus to infinity of e to the, okay, it's e to the minus quantity sigma plus a t times e to the j omega t dt, which you could write as e to the minus sigma plus a, or no, minus a, write a minus a in here, e to the j omega t divided by minus sigma minus a, and then you need a minus here too, right? Minus j omega. Yeah. Minus, no, I guess I just need a plus here. And then if I put in 0 to infinity, this would equal 0, and this is provided sigma is greater than a, right? Otherwise it won't be, it'll be e to a plus number, which would be infinity, right? And then I've got, that's the upper limit, and then I've got the lower limit, so I have minus 1 over, and then I've got this minus and that minus cancel, and I've got sigma plus j omega minus a, which is equal to 1 over sigma plus j omega is s minus a. And so that equals this guy provided sigma is greater than A, and that's why they put this convergence factor in there. It's somewhat adjustable for different functions that you put in here. Okay? And if you didn't have that adjustment, then you know if you got an A too big, then you'd be in trouble. So anyway, we looked at this thing last day as an inner product. This Laplace transform was the inner product of the y with the e to the minus st. Basically, you're kind of like trying to project this into the e to the into the s space using the basis functions e to the st. And we did a problem. We did an example problem right here. Here was our first example problem: dy dt plus ay equals 0, subject to the initial conditions here. And so what we did, we wanted to project this whole thing into the S space there, into the S vector coordinate system, or however you'd call it there. So here's, we just did that. We took this is projecting the dy dt in, that's projecting the ay, and just did that. And then we did this thing by integration by parts, and we found a very useful identity that the Laplace transform of dy dt was equal to s times the Laplace transform of y of t minus y at 0 minus, basically, because if we had been putting in 0 minus last day, we would have had it 0 minus. You know, it just means just right at 0, basically, just before 0, maybe. And this guy right here, we called this thing y of s. Kind of like when we did phasors, we used capital letters, right? So, and by the way, we're going to show a little bit later on that if you replace s with j omega, that the transfer function for phasors is the same as the transfer function for Laplace transforms, okay? Now the phasor isn't quite the same, but the transfer function is. And the reason it's not quite the same is we got this convergence factor, e to the minus sigma t in there. Which kind of, well, it actually helps, but it makes things a little interesting. So we figured this out last day. That was this integration by parts. And then we had this thing minus y of 0 plus sy of s plus ay of s equals 0. We solved that for y of s. We got this thing right here. So that was the answer in the s coordinate system. And then to check and see whether that was the right thing, we took the answer. We knew what was the answer to that problem in the t coordinate system, and we projected it into the s coordinate system to see if it matched. And we did it here, and what do you know? It does. Okay? So that's cool. Well, actually, there are two ways to send things back. And you know what I would probably have jumped on in the beginning was, well, let's just project it back, right? I mean, just like when you're in the prime coordinate system, you can go to the unprime coordinate system by doing a projection, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you can do that, and if you take signals and systems, we actually work out that projection back into the unprime coordinate system. And it works just fine. The only problem is it's a hairy integral, right? But it's doable. I mean, it's doable. There are some things, if you take complex variables, which is a very good class to take, especially if you're thinking about graduate school, you take complex variables and they will show you some cool ways of doing hairy integrals using what's called the residue theorem. And that's, you know, something worth doing. But I'm saying that's the hard way. And you know what the easy way is? Just what we did last day. You know, I recognize this now as that goes with this e to the y0 e to the minus at, right? So just like I made this little thing right here, I'm going to write that down too because we found that out. Laplace transform of e to the at times u of t, or what did I have? E to the minus at in that case. E to the minus at u of t was equal to, it's just basically 1 over S plus A, right? Because if I let y of 0 be 1 and that, that's what I get, right? And so that's, you know, the second thing I've discovered here. And so going from this back to that, just by recognition, is probably the fastest way, okay? And so what we actually tend to do, because it's this projection operator that we're doing right here is easier than the projection to go the other direction. It's just because the other direction has a complex integral. It's got, you know, this has all, looks like real functions, e to the minus st or whatever, that looks all real, it's not so bad. The other one's got complex stuff in it. And so it's a harder integral to do, and you got to think a little more about it. But this one, you know, going this way is easy. And so we could just make up all the functions that we kind of like to use very often. Take the Laplace transform and write out what it is. And so that's kind of what we do. And there really aren't too many of them, because this Laplace transform was made for solving equations like this first one we started out, you know. This linear time invariant equation here. If I look at the previous thing here, this was a linear time invariant system differential equation. And we were trying to find a good way to solve those guys. And those guys always had a solution, e to the st, right? That's why you picked that basis set. So that was a good question, Joe. That's kind of the answer. I don't know.
Kind of?
Yeah. Okay, so we've got these two guys. So let's go on and see what else we figured out last day. So that was that one. Let's go to the next one here. Okay, so this was actually working out that it actually did work. You know, you got y0 over s plus a. We worked that out. And then there was 5 minutes left in the class, and I decided we should do a hard problem, one that would have taken me all the whole class to do back in circuits, right? And so we tried to do that. We didn't quite make it. So anyway, here was the problem right here. And so I took the Laplace transform of second derivative of y with respect to t. I guess we better do that here too, right? But maybe I did that too fast, because that was in 5 minutes, and it was only in like 1 minute, right? So maybe I should do that more slowly so that you really have that, because that's another one we want to put here, right? In fact, maybe it might be nice to figure out what the nth derivative would look like, but I'll kind of leave that for you. Here's how we do the second derivative, right? So Laplace transform, oh man, let me try another pen here. Hopefully one of these is good. Laplace transform of the second derivative of y with respect to t would be equal to the Laplace transform of d dt of dy dt, right? Do you agree? That's what the second derivative is, right? See if this guy's any better here. So that seems okay. Okay, I'm glad that seems all right. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to use this thing right here, okay? Because dy dt is like the y up here, right? So I'm going to say this is equal to s times the Laplace transform of, what would it be, dy dt, right? Right, s, I take the Laplace transform of this thing right here, s times that, minus the initial condition of that thing right there. So that would be minus, s times, gotta go like that, right? S times this minus, and the initial condition of that guy would be y prime at 0, right? This is the initial value of this thing right here. Like, that's the initial value of that thing. Is that okay so far? That's okay? Well, Joe thinks it's okay. What about the rest of you guys? Ben thinks it's okay?
If
Joe says it's okay with the rest of you, right?
Having ODE helps.
Yeah, having ODE helps, yeah. Yeah. Did Wiggins do all this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So.
Well.
So anyway.
Not quite the same.
He
it's
did not the same way he did.
No.
No.
But it comes out the same, I guess.
Yeah.
It's Laplace.
Yeah. Okay. It comes out the same.
It's the same intent, but sometimes his temptation was
more confusing. Well, that's good. At least mine's a little less confusing, eh? Of course, I get to come the second time. I have a great advantage. Okay, so I'm going to fill in. I've got to substitute this guy. I need to use that now, right? I'm going to put that in the brackets right here. Does that make sense? So I got S times. Now, what goes in the brackets is going to be this whole thing. So it's S times the Laplace transform of y of t minus y of 0 minus, right? Okay, I'm taking this thing right here and popping it into that bracket, this bracket right here. And then I have to put minus y prime of 0 like that, right? Because that's the this dude right here, right?
Now, 0 minus instead
of 0 plus. Oh, yeah, 0 minus, everything's 0 minus. The reason we're doing 0 minus is because I want to make sure a delta function fits in there. And so that's just reminding me that, yeah, I'm not splitting the delta functions. They all get included, the ones at 0. Okay? And that kind of goes along with this definition of u of t as well, I think. You know, like turn it on at time t equals 0. On this kind of thing, it really doesn't matter, because if you have one point, you integrate over one point, you get 0, right? If everything was 0 except everywhere except one point, you do the integral of that, you'll get 0. So anyway, now we have another property down here, right? So this is equals s squared y of s. That's s times y of s minus s y of 0 minus y prime at 0 minus. So now we did this one, we did that one, and we did that one, right? We've got three properties now. And I think we got the same thing. Let's just double check and see whether I did this right yesterday. I was trying to do it so fast that, what did I say? I changed the problem to make it easier here. I said y of 0 was 0 and y prime was yp. So I had s squared, and I got this right thing here. So that looks right, right? S times y of s minus whatever, right? I was kind of trying to drive it on the spot, because I can't remember all these things, right? I just can't remember. Okay, so we got this term, that was the second derivative right there, and then I've got 3 times this guy, and I just used that formula up there for dy dt, and then I've got 2 y of s, when I Laplace transform y of t, I got y of s, I got that equal to 0. Then I factored out all the stuff in front of y of s, so I got this term for y of s, that term there, and that term, and I brought this yp over to the other side. So I had this guy equals that guy. So then I could say y of s is yp divided by this guy, and this guy factored down nicely into that. And then I said, look, we could expand this thing using, what do they call that, partial fraction expansion, into something like this. And I didn't figure out what the a and the b were, but I could tell it was coming out into the right kind of a solution here, because this guy looks just like 1 over s plus a, or a over s plus a, cap a over s plus a, so that's like a constant times that, right? So that'd be a times e to the minus 2t, right? Because a was 2, little a was 2, or minus, yeah, let's see, little a was minus 2, right? Or no, wait a minute, what was I doing? I'm using this thing, what is little a? Little a is actually 2, I guess, right? S plus 2, right? I got an s plus 2. So I got this a e to the minus 2t and b e to the minus t here, right? This guy went to that guy went to that. Now what I'd like to do is remind you how you got the a and the b. Shall I do that?
Sure.
Okay, so we had this thing here. I'll remind you how to get it the long way, and then I'll show you the fast way, okay? No, I'll actually get it for you the fast way so we can double check it works, okay? So what I've got is, I've got y of s, man, that's horrible. I'm about ready to, I was going to ask Renee for another pen today, but she was already gone by the time I got there. Okay, so I got y of s equals yp divided by s plus 2 times s plus 1. And I'm going to say that's equal to a over s plus 2 plus b over s plus 1. And here's what I'm going to do to get that. If I rewrite this guy by getting a common denominator, I got the same thing I have on the left. S plus 2 times s plus 1. And this would be a times s plus 1 plus b times s plus 2. Does that algebra satisfy you? Is that okay? Did I mess up? Seem okay. Okay. So what I have to do is make this guy equal that guy right there, the yp, right? So basically that says a times s plus 1 plus b times s plus 2 equals yp plus 0 times s, right? There's no s's on the yp side there. So I have a plus b, that thing there, times s, plus, and then I've got a plus 2b equals yp. So this says that a plus b equals 0, and a plus 2b equals yp. So this guy implies b equals minus a. So I've got a minus 2a equals yp, and so that says, that implies that a equals minus yp, is that right? So this becomes minus a equals yp, so a equals minus yp, and then that implies, along with that, says b equals yp. Is that okay? So I'm going to say this guy a goes to minus yp, and this guy turned into yp. Now what I'd do is like to show you the fast way. This way I had to solve two equations and two unknowns. I did it by equating coefficients here. The coefficient of s on the left has to equal the coefficient of s on the right. Coefficient of 1 on the left has to equal the coefficient of 1 on the right. Right? Does that make sense? That certainly makes it work every time. Okay? But now what we're doing is looking for a faster way to do this. Okay? And once we're convinced that this will always fit this form, you know, you can always do this partial fraction expansion, then what we could do is pick specific s values that would make this work and make it easier so we don't have to solve two equations and two unknowns, okay? Now, I should also mention there's an even easier way than what I'm going to show you. If you have one of those TI 89 calculators, and it will do this for you, but unfortunately, it only does it when the roots on the bottom, when it factors down into real roots. But sometimes I do this by hand when I've got complex roots. I mean, it works. All the algebra goes through. Everything's the same. It's just your calculator didn't quite have that programmed in. It's under the it's in the algebra part or whatever, and it's called partial fraction expansion or something like that. I don't remember, but I know it's on there, and it works for real stuff, but not for complex. So now here's the fast way. Well, not as fast as the calculator, but it's the fast way. So here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to take this guy equals that guy, and I'm going to multiply both sides by s plus 2. So if I multiply by s plus 2, I'll have yp over s plus 1 equals a plus b times s plus 2 over s plus 1. And this is just taking that equation, multiplying by s plus 2. Is that okay? Anybody have a problem with that? Okay, now what I'm going to do is evaluate both sides of this equation, and I'm going to evaluate it to make the b go away. To make the b go away, what s would we evaluate it at? Yeah, s equals minus 2. So if I put in s equals minus 2, that term will go away. And if I do that on the right, I have to do that on the left. And so I would get a. This tells me a equals, and it would be yp divided by minus 2 plus 1, which equals minus yp. Now that was faster than that, right? Is that okay? And likewise, if I multiply through by the s plus 1, if I want to get the b, I multiply by the thing on the bottom of the b. And so if I do yp over s plus 2 just by multiplying by s plus 1, and that's going to equal a times s plus 1 over s plus 2 plus b. And then I evaluate this at s equals minus 1, there and there. I get b equals yp over 2 minus 1, which is yp, right? Is that okay? So that's partial fraction expansion. Now there are some more complicated formulas. Sometimes we might have repeated roots on this thing down here, right? Like s plus 2 squared or something. And when you do partial fractions in that case, you're going to have a something over s plus 2 squared plus a something over s plus 2. And this little trick that I did here needs to be modified in order to make, you know, make that work. And I don't know, when I took this class, they taught us how to do that. But I think it's probably a little less important these days because you got computer algebra, and of course the original method, this method still works, you know. Adam.
So basically, in all of this, so the y's are equaling a certain like amperage or voltage.
Yeah. But yeah, it could be. This came from a circuit, and then this would have been, this would be the second derivative of I with respect to t, and 3 di dt, and 2 I, or whatever. Or it could have come from, maybe this is vibrations, you know, since you're an Emmy, right? And so you might care more about vibrations, like, you know, you're worried about this building going or something, and you're worried about the response of this building, you know, when the earthquake comes along. And so, you know, these might be, instead of currents and voltages, they might be displacement of the building. You know? So, there's, you know, or it could be like shock absorbers on your car. You know, you're building your shock absorber spring and shock absorber system. You know, that's a spring mass system, and you want to make it so that it, you know, you find out what kind of a ride you got, and you can solve it like this. And nowadays, actually, you know, the class that comes after this is feedback and control. And the reason you have to know all this stuff you're doing in here, my apologies, I wish we could do a just-in-time learning kind of a thing, but you have to take it from me, you need to know this for that. But anyway, nowadays on the some of the nice cars, they have an active suspension system. And so, you know, they actually have a feedback and control system that, you know, actually changes, you know, the way they have some kind of actuators on there to make an even nicer ride. You know, you can dial up how you like it. You know, if you like it bouncy or you like it not, you know, turn the knob on the front panel, I guess, you know, or at least if you were the engineer that had control of the parameters, you could do that, right? Make it bounce the way you want.
You can do that with airbags.
With airbags, huh? Oh yeah,
so
right, yeah.
They can adjust
right,
the ride
mm-hmm.
based on the load.
Right, yeah. No, that's a good thing, yeah. So you can put a little extra air in there or actually have a compressor right on the back of your semi, which, you know, could change the air pressure as you're going, you know. I don't know. Okay, so are there questions about this example we did last day? We've kind of finished it off today. You get the actual answer. You know, you put the A and the B we just figured out, and this was the answer right there, right? But I should say that this thing up here is just as much the answer as this down here, right? This is just in the other coordinate system.
What are the differences between capital and this?
Capital, yeah. It's a kind of a notation thing. The capitals will denote being in the S coordinate system, and the little things would be denoting we're in the time coordinate system. So somehow, you know, sometimes I don't write the of S here. If it's a capital Y, you know, it's the same notation we used in phasors. Remember when we had the little y of t, then we would make a Y bar, a capital Y bar. Same kind of idea here, except we don't do the bar. The bar kind of indicates phasors. This is the Laplace transform, capital Y of S. And if you were to take signals and systems, we would do a thing called the Fourier transform, which actually comes from the Fourier series by making the period get longer and longer and longer. And instead of hitting a sum, you know, like we had an infinite sum, n went minus infinity to infinity, we'll have an integral, you know, over frequency, over n, integral, the n turned into a continuous variable, because as you make the period get really, really long, the frequency harmonics get really, really close together, and pretty soon it's a continuous distribution. And now you have the Fourier transform, and they will write capital Y of frequency, or omega. So capital means you've moved to the other domain, and little means you're in your old favorite time domain. Is that okay?
So how do you go from, we've gotten to the stage where we're still at S zone, and we're going to...
Right, yeah, okay. So now what we do is we know what A and B are right here, right? You know what those two things are, right? So if we have this guy right here, we have y of s is minus yp over s plus 2. So that's kind of like what I had right here. See, y of s is equal to, and this we found the a was minus yp, right, over s plus 2. Now we also found right here, the Laplace transform of e to the minus a t u of t is 1 over s plus a. So if a was 2, it would match this thing right here, right? You see that? And A was 1, that would be like this. Now if we put a YP in front there, it would just come outside the integral and just be YP here, right? So actually taking the Laplace transform is a linear operation. Well, that kind of makes sense because changing coordinates is a linear operation, right? And so anyway, if we had a YP times this with the A equal to 2, then I would have exactly this guy right here, right? With the little a equals 2. Does that make sense, Adam? Mm-hmm. And so I changed this guy into that guy. At this time, I didn't know what the a was. Now I know it's minus yp, right? And this one was similar, except that 2 is being as a 1 now. Instead of a 2 there, I've got a minus 1, okay? And this is the kind of thing we expected from this thing, because notice back over here, the characteristic polynomial had roots at minus 2 and minus 1, right? So we have an overdamped kind of a situation here. So a second order system with an overdamped response. Because they're real roots. If it was real and repeated roots, then it would be critically damped, and if there are complex roots, then it's underdamped. And if they're complex roots with zero real part, like plus and minus j omega, then it's undamped. In other words, it'll be a sine wave forever. And if it's complex roots with a real part that's positive, then it's exponentially growing, and we're in deep trouble. Okay.
Now, with the undamped system, then we're back here.
Mm-hmm.
Being zero, right?
Yes. Well, no, you can still put sigma in there, but what happens is the Laplace transform, this A, turns that into a J omega.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's the A.
It's the A. Yeah, this thing right here, you still need sigma to be there, you know, it has to be.
The S
A
still
would
has real and imaginary.
Right, yeah, the S still has
the
real
A
and imaginary.
Doesn't have
right, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Okay, so does this process kind of make sense to you guys? Okay, well then if the process makes sense, then the thing we have to do is build up this table so that we can do more problems, right?
Yeah.
So, and everybody always asks me, oh, can we have the table on the exam? And the answer is no. Of course not. No.
How about if we memorize the table? Can we have the table on the exam if we memorize it?
Well, I think, you know, that's okay. But what I would suggest, the way you memorize it is you derive everything on the table. Did you notice I couldn't remember what the Laplace transform of the second derivative was, right? But it was easy to derive it, right? And so that's my way of doing things. I can't remember anything, but I can at least work it out, right? And so that works for me, and maybe it'll work for you. I'm hoping so. So let's do a few properties of the Laplace transform, which will make it easier for us to make the table of the Laplace transforms, okay? And actually, this thing was a property right here. This dy dt, this is the Laplace transform. This is kind of like any derivative of any function, you can just do this operation to it, right? Well, we did that last time from using integration by parts right here, right? So see, if I didn't remember that, did it from integration by parts. So Edgar, that's my way of doing it, and I understand where you are. It becomes easier and easier to do the derivation the more derivations you do. And you guys are not at that point yet, right? Done hundreds of them, right? I mean, if you've done this 100 times, it becomes really easy to do this again. Now, the reason that I like to do it that way is because then it makes it so I can do all kinds of other things that I couldn't do before. And if I just spend all my time memorizing this thing, eventually it gets foggy in my brain and I don't quite have all the jots and tittles, right? And then I have to figure out how to get it again. And my way of doing it is back to the derivation. That other people might be having to look it up or, you know, and I've had problems in the past. This was before Google. You know, when I would be like, I went to Guam one summer and I was working on stuff for AWR and I didn't have my textbooks there, you know? And man, I had to derive a lot of stuff, you know, that I couldn't remember. And it was a good thing I knew how to derive it because otherwise I would have had to, you know, send a letter back to the States and it would have taken me, you know, 2 weeks to get Ralph to look it up for me or something and send it back, you know? It's crazy. So. Things are, of course, changing because of the internet. I understand I use the internet too, as you can see, right? Google is your friend, as they say. So, I don't know. I still think it's a good way to do it because if you derive it, then you understand why, and then you won't make a mistake that is, you know, dependent on knowing why. So, I'm going to give you a problem on the exam, and it's going to be a kind of a give-me problem because it's going to be one of these properties, okay? And so you can memorize, and what I would say is memorize the derivation, right? Memorizing the derivation is better than memorizing the answer. You say, well, it's got a whole lot of stuff in there, but it's actually easier to remember the derivation than to remember the answer. At least I find it that way. Because it's like kind of like, you know, you need to know where to set the ball up and then it just kind of rolls down the hill, right? It's like marble track or something, right? And so if you can get your ball rolling correctly, you know, it doesn't jump the track all the time, then you can do this on other things too, right? So.
My ball's a little rusty.
I understand. So memorize the derivation. Was this too hard or was the, you know, integration by parts too hard? It's probably a good thing to remember, you know, how do you integrate by parts? So, you know, all those things that you had in calculus, you thought, oh man, I'm done with calculus now, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, didn't you wish? Yeah, mostly, yeah. So let's just do some properties here. You guys like to procrastinate, right? I mean, so this is the procrastination property. We want to find out what happens in the other coordinate system when we procrastinate in time. We know what happens in time. That means we postpone it till tomorrow, right? We're good at that. I'm good at that, right? So let's see what happens to us in the S space, okay? So the Laplace transform of y of t minus t0. So that, what does that mean? That's the thing I said, I'm going to postpone it t0 seconds, okay? So what happens in the S domain if I postpone it by t0 seconds? This is what happens in the t domain, right? It just means what happens in the t, it just delays it, right? So let's just do this integral here. We got the integral of 0 minus to infinity. And you know what I'm going to have to do here? I'm going to say it also gets turned on at t minus t0 seconds. Otherwise, it's not going to work here. So I need a u of t minus t0 here as well. Otherwise, it won't quite come out. So I'm going to put that in there. So I got 0 minus to infinity. And then I've got y of t minus t0 u of t minus t0 e to the minus st dt, right? That's just the Laplace transform definition, right? Now, what does u of t minus t0 look like? If I graph it, what does it look like here? Here's 0. Here's t0. Here's the t-axis. It's like a unit step function of some kind, right? Where does it pop up?
Zero.
Yeah, it pops up at 0. It looks like this, right? It goes like this, right? And it goes up to 1 there, right? So this is 1 right here. How did I get that? Oh, I erased the u of t thing. It's gone. Anyway, I just put in t minus t0 used to now plays the role of what t used to, right? And when the thing inside the parentheses is 0, that's where it pops up. So t minus t0 equals 0, that means t equals t0, right? Is that okay? So, or another way of thinking about it is you had the u of t like this, and you delayed it by t0, right? So that's u of t minus t0. Now, the interesting thing on this integral is, if I'm going to multiply by u of t minus t0, I could change this lower limit to what? T0. Yeah, I like that, Joe. That's cool. So we got this thing equals the integral from t0 minus to infinity of y of t minus t0 e to the minus st dt. Is that okay? Now this thing is begging for a change of variables, right? What would that change of variables be? I want to make this look like the Laplace transforms of something, like Laplace transform of y of t, so I need to change this t minus t0 to a new variable, dummy variable of integration, right? So I'm going to let t minus t0 be equal to another, I'll just call it, well, I don't know, what's a tau? I'll call it tau, okay, because that's a variable. Ben. Well, I just took the u of t minus t0 out. This is 0 until it hits t0, and then it's 1 thereafter.
So if I
could put a 1 here between these two, but I didn't bother. Is that okay? Okay. Okay, so now I've got this, and I'm going to make this substitution a variable. So now I'm going to have a d tau here. What is d tau? D tau is the same thing as dt, right? Just using differentiating that. And now when tau here is equal to, or when t is equal to t0, what is tau equal to? Wouldn't it be 0? 0 minus here for t0 minus? If I put in t equals t0, I get t0 minus t0, right? So that would be t0. And then when this t is infinity here, it'd be infinity, then tau is infinity, so I can just leave that infinity. And then I have y of tau, right? And then e to the minus s, and then what is t? Well, this thing implies t equals tau plus t0. Do you agree? So I can put e to the minus s times tau plus t0. And now I can bring that around, and this thing equals, I can bring out the e to the minus s t0 because it's not a function of tau, right? So I got e to the minus s t0 times the integral from 0 minus to infinity of y of t e to the minus s t dt. And what is this dude right here?
It's just kappa y.
Yes. Yes. Excellent. Good job. That's exactly it, right? So what happens when we delay in time, it multiplies by this operator. So this guy, e to the minus st0, is the delay operator. So, you know, it just multiplies by that, right? So if you delayed by 10 seconds, it would be e to the minus s times 10. If you delayed by 100 seconds, it would be e to the minus s times 100, okay? So this is the delay operator. This is a delay operator here. And by the way, this s thing, if we had zero initial conditions, multiplying by s is like a differentiating operator, right? Oh, isn't that kind of somewhat familiar? Do you remember multiplying by j omega? In the phasers business, wasn't that like differentiating? Yeah, and that's a special case of this s, isn't it? S equals sigma plus j omega, right? You know, this e to the st guy, maybe he's an old friend of ours that we just didn't know as much about before, right? I mean, it's kind of like now we're meeting his whole family. We knew that you run right along the j omega axis, right? E to the minus j omega t. And now we're meeting the ones on the left-hand side and the right-hand side of that axis. Now all his relatives, right? And it seems like they all have this same kind of thing. Here's the delay operator. And if S was J omega, let's think about it. Well, S being J omega is like we're thinking about sine waves, right? Now, if I delay by 10 seconds on a sine wave that has a cycle of 10 seconds, that's delaying by 2 pi, right? But if I delay on a sine wave that has a cycle of, instead of 10 seconds, suppose it had a cycle, it was going twice as fast, right? Omega was twice as big. So that would be, it would be 5 seconds, okay? Then what would happen on this e to the minus j omega t0? The t0 is the same, right? But the omega is now twice as big, right? So this is that linear phase kind of a thing. In other words, the time delay is that, you know, it changes with what frequency you are as to how much phase delay you've got, right? And it's a linear relationship. That's that thing, remember we talked about, did we talk about that phase linear stereo place? Maybe I did that in electronics, I can't remember, but there used to be a company called Phase Linear that Bob Carver, who started Sunfire and Carver and also Phase Linear, all these, you know, fancy high-end stereo places. But anyway, phase linear, he wanted to have that because what he wanted was he wanted his stereo to have this kind of a thing. He would allow it to have the sound to be delayed by a certain amount. In other words, Sandy Patty played the song now, but you want to listen to it tomorrow on his stereo, right? And so what do you want? You want a delay operator right here. And that's a linear phase response, you know, when you look at it, S equals J omega. It's a linear phase. If you plot j omega t0 is a function of j omega, it's linear. And so that was, you know, phase linear. That's the delay operator. That means no distortion. Sounds exactly the same, only you played it later, right?
So basically it was an improvement on pause.
Yeah, it is perfect pause.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Okay, well, time to go. So you guys have a good Sabbath, a good weekend, and study hard, and I'll be back on Monday to help you answer any questions.
At least this time we have
so
Monday.
No, only the old stuff, just a redo of the old stuff. It will cover up through, remember we had those delta functions, you know, they were kind of new last, yeah, right. Those things will be on there. The other deltas will probably be on there, all that old Fourier stuff.